Good morning, everybody. We are out of batteries here. Oh, well. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. That was going through my mind on the way up here this morning. As much as I hated to see that snow come again, when we thought we were in spring, it was just beautiful this morning. When the roads are good, a lot of times, coming from Hancock, I just take Pine Street all the way up, which is 203, but it was just... It just really made you think of God's majesty this morning. And I kept thinking, why don't we do that? Why don't we take the time to slow down and really look at God's creation? And it has something to do with our human nature, I think, where we just get so busy. But folks, take time. I saw no less than 12 deer by the side of the road this morning. Part of the open canal, and you just said, wow, you know, this is kind of what it's all about. You know, it's not about the rat race out there. But that's a different subject. It's not what we're covering this morning. Last time I was up here, we were continuing in James, and we had started chapter 3. And the last one was the taming of the tongue, and I just want to spend just a minute there, kind of in review, as I normally do when I'm up here. But we had mentioned how powerful the tongue is. Matter of fact, it's the most powerful thing as part of our body that we have. And as a result, it's the hardest thing to tame. It's where we have our most struggles. We need to think before we speak. Slow to speak, quick to listen. We need to pray. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to make us aware of the things we're saying and what's behind them. And we discovered in there that it is only with God's help that we can overcome that we can conquer our own tongues. We need to listen to people that hold us accountable. We need to recognize the excuses that we make. And when it comes to the tongue, we need to be proactive. We can't be passive. We need to get control of it. And hopefully, there was one key as we walked away that we closed with last time. And this was the question, are we honoring God with our tongues? Or are we allowing Satan to operate through our tongues? Puts it in just a little different light. Because if we don't have control of our tongues, it's not about us necessarily talking bad or doing bad things. It's about Satan using us, using our tongues. And we have to be oh so careful of that. And this morning we're going to tackle another one of James' questions for us. And that's talking about two kinds of wisdom. Starting in verse 13 there. But what do you think of? What do you think of when you think of somebody that's wise? Or when you think of the term of wisdom? You know, what goes through your mind? Do you think of somebody you might know? Do you think of maybe when you were young, maybe you would run to your grandpa when you had problems or questions, and he would come through and you would think, wow, this person knows everything. You know, he has the right answer for everything. Then maybe as we grew up, we found that, well, that didn't always work for us. Maybe we needed something more. Another question, do you think of yourself as wise? Do you want to be wise? Do you want people, maybe a son or a grandson or a neighbor or somebody, to come to you when they're seeking wisdom? Do you want to be that sort of person? Well, James this morning talks about two different kinds of wisdom. And it's pretty much the kind of choices that we all have to follow. And we usually call on one or the other. So this morning I'm going to read the section starting James chapter 3, verse 13, and goes through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and self-ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So how would you answer James' leading question here? Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? You know, as we kind of said in the intro, what's your criteria? What's your standard? Who do you look to? Is it somebody that shows it through their actions? Is it something you're striving for? Is it a goal of yours to be wise? Most of us want to strive to have purposeful lives. We want to have significant lives. We would want our words to be able to console other people and to guide others. It's something we all really would want. But it's not necessarily something we can recognize within ourselves. It's what other people recognize in us, because it's how we live. He said, wise and understanding there in that first half of that verse. Why did he put that combination together, wise and understanding? He's talking about understanding in reference to God, God's involvement in our decision making. It's about trusting Him and His truth in the decisions we make and the wisdom that we portray. I liked in one commentary, it said, it's about trusting God, not knowing what our future holds, but knowing who holds our future. Pretty simple wisdom to live by. Not what our future holds, but who holds our future. Without God in the formula, our wisdom will be diluted. It'll be worldly. Can't be anything but. Without that moral compass, we're kind of out of luck. So why, ask yourself this, why does the world's wisdom entice us? What is it about it that there would even be this choice? You know, if you have God's wisdom, have the Word of God and His wisdom, all-knowing, past, present, future, and then you have the worldly wisdom over here, what would entice us to want to go after worldly wisdom? Well, we all like instant gratification. That's a good worldly wisdom. We all like entitlement. That's a humanness trait in us. Deep inside, we truly think we deserve it. You know, we deserve this, we deserve that. Or I like that term, justified self-centeredness. It's okay to be self-centered because I deserve that. those things can drive our wisdom, our decision making. But bottom line is, the world doesn't really care about us. The world is out for itself. And you don't have to look too far to realize that, whether it's in the marketing messages out there or whatever. The world is for itself. It's not for us. Or maybe the reason we might sway the worldly wisdom is because we're just not too sure about God's wisdom. We might just not be convinced. Does God really have my best interest in mind? We can say it. Of course he does, but do we turn around and then maybe not make our decisions based on that? Or maybe we're just not too sure that this is God's word. Yeah, maybe some of it is, but boy, and some of the things he asked me to do, maybe it's not. So maybe I can kind of pick and choose. Or how many hundreds of promises does God put in here? And maybe we're just not too sure about the promises. Maybe they're too good to be true. So maybe we got to kind of mix it up a little. Or maybe it's just not relevant for today. You know, this was written a long time ago, folks. You know, maybe it's seen its past good. Maybe it's just not relevant. But deep inside, we know that's not true. Deep inside, as followers of Christ, we know that God's promises are true, that this is God's word, and that it is extremely relevant for today, and the only way we really have a chance is to follow this compared to the worldly wisdom. So as he goes on, second part of verse 13 here, how are we going to show we are wise? He says, let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Not too long ago, James was talking about faith without deeds. That it just is like oil and water, doesn't mix. You know, you gotta have both together. You just can't say, I have faith, I have deeds. Just can't say I have wisdom and then go on and do whatever in one's life. It just doesn't work. Show it in his good life is what it says. James is just saying actions speak louder than words. It shows where we're invested. It shows where our hearts are invested. In other words, we can say we're wise. We can say we have understanding, but if our actions don't parallel that, it's not true. It's what James is saying. It's what Andy Stanley terms moral authority. I've used that term before because I really like it. And moral authority is nothing more than how we live our lives, because it gives us that authority to have that, to just be able to have that presence. You can't have authority without living it, living a good life. Then he adds that third factor to this section. He talks about humility. In other words, the attitude that comes with that action, that humbleness. How are the deeds we're doing done? In humbleness. What's the opposite? Pride and arrogance. Done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And then it goes on to verse 14, which I was thinking here we should pray, Lord, search my heart. In verse 14 it says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition. It's what God's wisdom, what humbleness doesn't look like. It's the opposite. envy, selfish ambition. When it's found in our hearts, it's not of God. Which, once again, if it's not of God, think about it. Then he goes on in verse 14, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Would you boast about selfish ambition? Maybe in your actions you would. Maybe in arrogance we do. Denying that we're acting or feeling that way might cause us some self-examination. What's the motive? 2,000 years ago, it was a problem. Today, it's a problem. And what's the source of this kind of wisdom? Verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. Point blank, just like we just mentioned about the tongue. Point blank. It's of the devil. It's Satan's behind it. And it's destructive. James says, are you falling into the trap? That's why I'm writing this, he says. This is inspired word of God. It's for purpose and direction. And we know God's purpose. His purpose is to separate us from God. And earthly wisdom is one of the ways he does it. Earthly wisdom based on human feelings, human reasoning alone. No guidance from God. Not allowing the Spirit to direct us. Look at Satan when he tempted Jesus in the desert. He thought he was pretty wise, yet Jesus turned it around on him. And Paul gives us a little more insight when he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand that God, what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Just one other way to take a look at that. And what does earthly wisdom lead to? It goes on back to James here in verse 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Once again, blunt. You know, comes right out and says it, you know. This is what it is. This is what it results in. You know, it calls a spade, so to speak. What productive things can come out of disorder and evil? It produces fruit, but not good fruit. Jealousy, strategies for revenge, could go on and on and on. So, how do we know one kind of wisdom from the other? Well, James says, I'll help you with this. Verse 17, he lists seven characteristics of godly and heavenly wisdom. He begins 17 by saying, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, and submissive. Number one, pure. And he says, first of all, pure. Very important. Moral and spiritual integrity. It's the compass that we all should be going by. It doesn't compromise. The end doesn't always justify the means when you think about it. You know, we want to do something good, but it's how we do things. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It's this wisdom from above. It's God's wisdom. It's that heavenly wisdom that will help us eliminate the impurities, the opposite of being pure. You know, unlike the world's wisdom, you know, is there one area that you might struggle with? You know, are you dealing with areas of your life where there's these impurities popping up, keeping us from really being that way? You know, do we have issues with lust? You know, what we just talked about last time, the tongue, you know, we have a problem with gossip, those kind of things. Maybe we struggle with stewardship or relationships. But the key is, you know, if you get anything out of James' message this morning, the key is don't settle for impurities. Don't be content. He says, be pure. You know, godly wisdom, be pure. Second characteristic is peace loving. Being at peace with God, your relationship with God, and being at peace with others. It's something through our actions we can spread, because you don't find it a lot of other places. It's the opposite of dissension, opposition, conflict, all those things that make great Hollywood movies. It's the opposite of that. And it starts with that purity concept. That next characteristic is considerate, the opposite of self-seeking. It's going beyond justice, beyond fairness. It includes mercy. You know, following God's example, you know, mercy, grace, unconditional love. It's what you can make out of considerate, godly wisdom. It makes allowances for others. It's taking the time to see the good in others. And it could even involve the golden rule. You know, do unto others like you want to be treated. That's considerate. That's godly wisdom. The next one is submissive. Willing to yield our own wants. Willing to yield our own wants. And then he concludes the seven with full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, insincere. Full of mercy. God's wisdom is full of forgiveness. Who benefits? We've talked about that many times. Is it the person holding the grudge? Of course they benefit when they have mercy on others. It's not about the revenge. That next characteristic, impartial, being single-minded, free of prejudice towards others. And the last one, sincere, not being hypocritical, being genuine, godly wisdom. Then he summarizes in the last verse that we're going to cover, verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. You know, Jesus in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. I want to kind of conclude that verse 18, or, well, 17 and 18 with a paraphrase from the Message paraphrase Bible, because it really explains it better than I ever could. It says, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy. Remember what holy means? Set apart. You know, we're supposed to be set apart. Begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next. Not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. Two kinds of wisdom. We all have a choice. we all make a choice. You know, make it conscious, a conscious one for God's wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue in your word through James, you really give us some hard stuff to tackle. We just pray, Lord, that our hearts will be open to your word, that we can have some self-examination as we tackle these subjects. And Lord, we truly pray that we can look to you for our wisdom. When we think about it, Lord, we do know that the world's wisdom is all about itself. It's not looking out for our best interests. And we pray, Lord, that we will continue to seek you out, seek your word out, and seek your wisdom. And once doing that, Lord, we will live our lives accordingly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.